land is a living entity to us that we have a relationship with. So the land was our home, our sanctuary. It holds our history. It holds our culture. It was our physical connection to our territory, our place. Mm-hmm. We had this relationship where the land took care of us. It provided for us. It nurtured us, healed us, developed us. As a human being, it developed us to become a person with good teachings. Mm-hmm. So we were interconnected with the land. So when the land's taken away, and then we see it being destroyed and commodified, there is a certain level of grief and loss that comes with that. And I've heard it described before that the loss is a lot like losing your mother. Mm-hmm. Right? We're a couple of generations away from being disconnected from our land and our culture that teaches us that. But imagine our great grandparents that grew up with that intimate interconnectedness to the land. They would have felt like a lot like it's losing their mother. And that kind of grief would be the result, right? Then we have, as another atrocity and trauma, imposed poverty. It's enforced. It's been enforced for like over a century about the idea of forcing us into being poor so that we could be economically controlled, right? As long as we're dependent on the colonizer, they could control our politics. Hmm. Now, poverty is a huge stressor. Right, it causes huge trauma. And let's look at like non-Indigenous people for a minute. In 2008, during the recession, suicides went up by 5%. During the Great Depression, suicides went up by 23%. That's all linked to poverty. So if that's what's happening to them, and they don't have the compounded traumas we have on top of the other things, you could think about how much poverty could be a factor that would feed thoughts of suicide for our people, right? Yeah, we're also aware, like, more and more so lately about the effects of intergenerational trauma, what's called the grandma gene, how when our grandmother goes through trauma, those stress chemicals pass into our mother, but then later on passes them into us. Right, so there is this a feeling of inheriting some of the trauma our grandparents went through on a biological note. So it's not just we hear the stories or we suffer the consequence of them not knowing how to be a parent because residential school took that away from them. There are those, but on top of that, there's a biological factor that ensures that we suffer some of the same effects of trauma that they went through. Right. And just an interesting side note, while Canada does everything they can to deflect and deny intergenerational trauma for Indigenous people here in Canada, they had no problem supporting Israel when Israel was bringing up claims of intergenerational trauma against Germany. And this was at the same time when Stephen Harper was making his national apology. So he was, you know... The hypocritical nature was really disgusting for those that kind of watch the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, try to take all those traumas. And again, I'm just touching on the big ones, right? And just going through them real fast. Mm-hmm. But try to take all those traumas and see how would that affect somebody? The grief, the loss, the depression, all those things that would kind of hit you, right? From all these horrific, like the worst case idea of atrocities and traumas. Now, to kind of like just characterize what a person would be like having to go through all that, you would have things like self-loathing, you know, self-hate because of racism, classism, sexism, obviously anger over unresolved issues, and they're powerless to get justice. Mm-hmm. Violence, hate, you know, these are all misdirected. Instead of directing our energy at the oppressor, we tend to do it at ourselves. We lash out at the people around us, and that's usually our family and community members.
Yeah.
There's fear, right? We've been conditioned to fear white authorities, so we go through life with this like high anxiety and fear about white authority. Severe states of depression, and this is an interesting one, learned helplessness. So there was a psychologist called Martin Seligman, yeah. And he did this experiment. And he took some dogs, he put them in a metal cage, and not together, like all individual different cages. And he would just randomly shock them. They're going through pain. And, you know, of course, the dogs would respond with barking, yelping, whimpering, you know, whatever they could do, probably trying to scratch and get out of the cage. And they're trying to change the situation themselves. But he kept doing these shocks, like, unpredictably. And then I don't know what the time frame was, days or weeks, but eventually he noticed behavior change in the dogs. Slowly, they started to not respond. They'll go in the corner of the cage and just whimper every time they get shocked. Then after a while, they did nothing. He would shock them and there'd be almost no response from them. Finally, he opened the door to the cage, shocked the dogs, and they did not exit the cage because they learned helplessness at that point, that they felt they had no power to change their situation. Crazy. And that's what goes on when you have like these colonial atrocities compounding over and over intergenerationally. People feel absolutely powerless to affect their own situation. Right? So as a result of that, we have a lot of victimization where we're pursuing pity because we have we think we have no power to change anything. So we're just simply looking for, I guess, we could turn into the colonizer and hoping they have some moral fiber to have some kind of mercy or pity towards the horrible things they're doing to our people. There's also another situation called Stockholm Syndrome. And that's a coping mechanism. You know, it's usually for like people that are held as captives, so kidnapped, right? Or it could also be an abusive relationship. That's where the person being held develops positive feelings towards their captors. And we see this like amongst our own people. It's linked to the dependency. We're dependent upon them. So when the colonizer, because they forced it, right? So when the colonizer then gives a little something, we praise them. We treat them in positive ways, right? We also have internal colonization. And that's like the ultimate objective of assimilation. It's replace an indigenous worldview with the colonizer's worldview. So we learn to look at the world through colonizer eyes. And we learn to hate each other in the way that a colonizer hates us. Now, I'm just going to touch on this real quick, but we have PTSD. We know that, post-traumatic stress disorder. And we also have something called post-apocalypse stress syndrome. Dr. Lawrence Gross brought up this idea. He said, it's when a culture experiences such a massive shock that it can never fully recover afterwards. So he's talking apocalyptic shock, right? And that's what we went through with colonization. The indigenous world fell apart. Everything, our political structures, ways of governance, our culture, our ways of knowing, believing, our ways of living, our social institutions, everything was damaged or destroyed. Right. So we went through our apocalypse and it's still ongoing because it's not like it's been recovered. Right. So we are experiencing that still today. And then finally, kind of the result of all this, or I should say, you know, kind of the result of traumas, it's the idea of suicides. Now, we've got to remember, indigenous people, we experience suicide 2 to 3 times higher than the national average. Indigenous youth are 5 to 7 times higher than any Canadian youth. And even worse than this is the Inuit youth. They have suicide rates that are 11 times higher than any other Canadians. So when we start to look at this and you know, tally up all these horrible traumas and things that happen, suicides start to become a little more clear. We can start to see why our suicide rates are so high, right? So the state of anime, as we explained it before, was when you take away a people's culture and they live in what's called a normless environment, that our people don't have any stories or lessons or values or customs to modify our behavior in a good way. So here we are left with all this anger, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. And we take all that negative energy and we take it out on each other. And that's what all the social dysfunction on the reserves are, right? Without our culture to shield us and provide us with good direction and good teachings, this is what naturally becomes of anybody. It doesn't have to be indigenous people. That's what will naturally become of them. So the state of anime is really a collection of all these historic traumas and pressures and stressors that cause us to act in such a way where we make bad decisions. Really, it tends to be abusive decisions. Mm. We engage in alcohol abuse, substance abuse, domestic abuse, and we end up hurting each other a lot. So, but it's almost invisible to us because we don't see the all the history that led up to it to create the conditions that we live in now.
Well, we really thank you for all this information. It's very heavy, very deep, and very well-knowledged, and we thank you for joining us and sharing with us as we get through this state of anime together, learning about it, understanding it, and knowing how we can get back on the path of our own culture, traditions, and heritage to get out of this state of anime. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing your words. It's been an honor, a privilege, and we're looking forward to hearing from you again very soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sagaj. Right.
Thank you. Wallalan.
Wallalan. All the best, bro. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
See you.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Sagaj from the Mi'kmaq people, and we'll be right back. But first, we're going to get on with the program. We have our next guest coming up, Shkwait Shakhlach, and we're going to play his song of the week, which was Missing Persons, and the name of the song is called Words. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Enjoy, everyone.
Lose the order, but I have my doubts that you're
back, and that was Missing Persons and their song called Words. And man, what fitting song.
Yeah, perfect for our topic.
Yeah, yeah. So we have on the line with us Gwaith Shachlach. He's my brother. He's from Gwaishkna, BC. He's an extreme survivalist from Guillain-Barré syndrome, lymphoma cancer, stage 4, the big forest fires of a few years ago and the big flood of a few years ago. And we also have Celia, the president of Minnetonka Park Association, on the line too. But first, we're going to get to Gwaith Shachlach. How are you doing, Gwaith? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing as well as can be.
Man, that was
I had an appointment with the doctors yesterday, and they didn't notice any complications or anything.
Oh, man, that's so beautiful. Yeah, it was a very interesting song. You picked the words, and it almost sounded like Grant talking to me. Yeah, so we have our subject today, and it's on understanding. And we'd love to hear your words on that.
Yeah, that's something how the song matched the topic.
Yeah.
You know, what are words for if we aren't practicing actively listening to those who are saying them? You know, if we're not paying attention or anything, getting distracted or interrupting, you know, we're not being very understanding or empathetic, you know. And if you're interrupting, you kind of being judgmental, you know. So we have to listen to people, you know, with an open mind. And, you know, I figure in understanding, you gotta kind of practice being patient with those around you, eh? You're not being Mr. Know-it-all and interrupt and interject and all that. You want to hear what the other person's actually talking about, you know, whether it's happiness or turmoil. You know, how can we be understanding if we're, you know, passing judgment and not showing compassion or not being kind, you know? But, you know, there's, you know, we're not all, you know, we kind of all are cookies, but, you know, some parts of the cookie dough might have a bit more salt in it or a bit more sugar or too much flour, you know? We're not all the same. You know, so because we come out of a cookie cutter, you know, we're all human beings, but we're not all the same. We have different cultures, you know, different beliefs and all that, you know. And if we're gonna practice, you know, try to understand, we gotta talk to them and listen to them, not pass judgment, be empathetic. That's what I think about understanding. You know, I was listening to the song and I said, gee, that goes well what was picked for the topic.
Yeah, it was so, it's almost like magical when that all that kind of stuff happens. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. It's always a big plus for my week, and I always look forward to hearing your words and getting more inspiration from your songs and just what you have to teach in what makes you tick and what helped you survive through all those afflictions that you went through. So yeah, lots of big shout out to you for all that, and just willing to come on and share with us on live radio.
Yeah, I always look forward to it. Gives me a purpose to keep fighting to be alive.
Yeah, lots of gukshjam for you, and looking forward to hearing from you again next week. And just lots of love and blessings to you on your road to recovery.
Yeah, yeah. I thank you guys for your well wishes, thoughts, and prayers. Send it all back to you there at the station and listeners here and abroad.
Beautiful.
Thank you all for it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we're going to ask the president of Minnetonka Park Association, Celia, also. We'd love to hear your words on understanding.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been some really listening to what everybody is saying here, and that whole idea of the understanding that you were that you and Wegedesk were talking about earlier is like what came to mind when you were talking is that the foundational, like the underpinnings that support understanding. The other thought that came to mind is a little bit about what your brother was just talking about, which is leading with listening rather than advice, opinion, judgment, coming up with what we're going to say when somebody else is in the middle of talking rather than actually being present and listening, that type of thing. That the listening is it's a really fine art and a fine practice that's really important to keep nourishing in ourselves, curiosity and openness, because I think all of us have been brought up in ways that we think we know. We've been given roadmaps unconsciously and consciously and in the larger commercial world of our life. And the curiosity is going to keep our minds open to listen, but also to not pre-decide that we think we understand somebody else's lived experience too, because, you know, short of walking in someone else's shoes, it's you know, it really takes that commitment that your brother was talking about too, is that commitment. And I was thinking commitment to the relationships. And then with your other brother who was talking about the past atrocities, and is anomie how it's said? Anomie?
Anomie, yeah. Anomie.
Anomie. And that to me, it was like, because the other words that came to mind with understanding is, you know, trust has to be nourished and fostered, is important to nourish and foster, respect, courage, all these qualities that really help to bolster understanding. And then I'm thinking, wow, like in situations where there's been huge breaches of humanity and trust and all of these things, and tragedy that's been imposed through certain actions and stuff, that's a whole other kettle of fish to start that repair process, but also promoting at the same time deepened understanding, which is necessary for a really good solid repair and reconciliation type of process between people. So that was just like, wow, like that's an important and really big, there's so many layers there, right? So
well, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, those are the things that come, and a willingness to be uncomfortable in conversations, and that's part of that commitment piece, right? Because conversations that are going deep can be really uncomfortable, especially if it's challenging any ideas or thoughts or beliefs that we've had or held,
especially when it comes to truth.
It's our little illusionary security blanket, which is actually what gets us into trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, the way our brains are set up, you know. It's like that big saying in the movie, you know, the truth, you can't handle the truth. And that's what we all are. We're all like that. We can't handle the truth. We have to become strong enough to handle the truth.
Right.
Yes. And I loved what you said, like you said about listening and understanding and not having that prejudgment. And same with my brother. You know, we got to let go of those things. And I'm talking to myself mostly because I'm very judgmental. Right? And I just start to answer before I even hear the whole conversation. So,
you know. Exactly. It's like, oh, I know. I know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
The other piece, the final other piece that I wanted to say is that knowing that we can do our best to understand and understand that it's an ongoing, like, you know, it's almost like there's layers of infinity there too, like that it's an ongoing thing. So mm-hmm. it's like making sure that we don't close it in and go, okay, now I understand, and kind mm-hmm. of just like lock the door there and go, okay, that's it, mm-hmm. done, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, we really appreciate you both for coming on live and sharing with us and giving your perspective on the subject of understanding. Such beautiful, rich, and wonderful, wise words that you both brought to us, and it's just amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on, y'all.
You're welcome, and I hope all the students out there are enjoying this day, and giving you lots of love as you go through the school year.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Celia. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
And thank you, Shquaish. Yeah. Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the president of Minnetonka Park Association and my brother Shquaish Shakhlakh from Gwaishkina, BC. And we're going to close the show now. And thank you, Wagadesk, for joining us in the studio.
Thank you, brother. I could just take a couple seconds and remind everybody that we dealt with a very tough topic today. So keep the deep breaths going and always remember that doing the right thing will always benefit you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're going to end our program with some Gain Band Rockabilly Ledley Zeppelin. So thank you all for joining us. Come back again Thursday, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and join us on Free Voices.
All the best, everybody. Bye for now.
Yeah, bye for now. Coming up next is Jacob's Show.